Now, this morning, we're going to continue our visit with Abraham and the three visitors. And remember that one of those visitors was the Lord in human form, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other two visitors we assume to be angels in human form also. So we're going to read of this continuing visit in Genesis 18. 16 through 33. So if you would turn there to Genesis 18, 16 through 33, and I hope that you do bring your Bibles so that you can open up the Word of God and make sure that that which is being taught, not only in Sunday school, but in our church services, is according to God's Word. You know, we are simply men, we're fallible teachers. We can make mistakes, we can teach error, and a noble people will determine that error and move away from that error. So we will read of this in Genesis 18, 16 through 33. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. Remember that Lot looked toward Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he eventually lived in Sodom. But these men are not going to live in Sodom. They're going to visit Sodom prior to the execution of God's judgment. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" So God asks of himself a question here, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." What a wonderful way that is. You know, I've walked along that way now for almost 50 years. It's a wonderful way, a marvelous way, a glorious way, the best way there ever is, the way of the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." When you walk the way, you walk Jesus Christ. What a wonderful way. And that way is to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Oh, that's an interesting passage there. The cry of it to the Lord, and he will verify whether that cry is real. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, this is one of the most unique passages in the scriptures. And it shows you indeed that Abraham was a friend of God. For this is how friends speak. And he said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Can you imagine saying that to God? And he'll talk about himself as ashes. You know, ashes. That's all I am, is ashes. He knows his place, but he knows that he can speak to God this way. "Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee," he says. "That's not like you to do such a thing. reminding the Lord of his righteousness and his mercy and his care for sinners. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He says. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Okay. Oh, okay, Abraham, that's a deal. 50, we got a deal, 50. Okay, that's a good deal. But wait a minute, maybe we can sweeten the deal. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He humbles himself and realizes his own situation. I'm nothing, but I'm speaking to God. Isn't that wonderful to understand that we are nothing and we can speak to Almighty God like this? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Then he says this, peradventure there shall lack five. Just take five off. What if there's only 45? Wilt thou destroy all the city for just five? You know, he's starting to inch toward where he's going. He's going towards 10, because that's where he stops, remember? So he's inching towards 10. He's not taking a big bite all at once. He's inching toward his goal. And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure. Now in the King James, he used that word peradventure. Now that means by chance, perhaps it may be there be 40 found there. How about five more? And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto them, oh, let not the Lord be angry. He realizes that he's stepping on dangerous waters here. He's starting maybe to annoy the Lord, but no. Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure. There shall be 30 be found there. Now he takes a bite of 10. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. In other words, he realizes how dangerous he feels about doing this, talking to the Lord this way, making deals with the Lord. Peradventure, he uses the word again, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak yet, but this once, just one more time. One more time. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And that's the end of it. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Now, we find in this passage the Bible's first instance, I believe, of intercessory prayer. And in this case, a prayer like no other prayer in God's Word. And we also here are instructed that prayer is a conversation between that which was made, Abraham, who called himself dust and ashes, and his maker, the Lord. Do you look at prayer as a conversation with God? You know, I've come to have conversations with God. Used to be when you're first saved, your prayers are formal. You're kind of formal, kind of standoffish. But as you become in love with the Lord, as you become his friend, you start conversing with the Lord and speaking in conversational language to the Lord. And here we see this with this conversation with Abraham and the Lord. So here, Abraham assumes the role of a defense attorney for a horrid and wicked client. You know what? The horrid and wicked young man who took the lives of 17 people has an attorney. And she has to represent that client who is a horrid and wicked person. And here Abraham assumes this responsibility as a defense attorney for Sodom and Gomorrah before a judge who has full authority to execute justice. And that justice will be in the form of what? Fire and brimstone to bury that city and all its inhabitants underneath that fire. So Abraham and Sarah, as hosts, have entertained the Lord and his two companions, serving them a sumptuous meal, and have been told that the next year the promised son Isaac will be given them. What wonderful news that is. So the meal being over, it's time then for the guests to depart, and they arise and look towards Sodom, beginning to walk in that direction, along with Abraham, who starts their journey with them, kind of like we always see our guests to the door. It's almost an example of what takes place in social relationships today. And at this time, God includes the self-conversation of the Lord. This was a self-conversation of the Lord in a way that Abraham is allowed to overhear of the fate of his neighbors, those cities in which his loved ones dwell. So there was a vested interest on the part of Abraham because Lot, his nephew, and his family dwelt there. So the Lord says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" The Lord asks himself. You know, the Lord, do you ever talk to yourself? I find myself talking to myself more. I don't know why it is, but I do. And perhaps I think you do too. I see some smiles on some faces here. Well, no, I never do. I never do that. Oh, you do too. You know, but the Lord is talking to himself. And he asked this question, should I hide this from my friend? And of course, the answer is no. For Abraham is allowed to know about the impending judgment of Sodom. So at this point, the two companions of the Lord separate and proceed towards Sodom, but Abraham stays alone with the Lord to argue the case of mercy for Sodom. You know, God has in this passage given to us his choice of Abraham as an intercessor. Certainly an apt role for the father of faith, and a role in which any father desires his children to also assume. You know, I remember your husband talking about this lady that was bedridden. I think it was when he was at Bob Jones and he would visit, what town was
Chester.
And it always was an impression on my heart as to this lady who was bedridden, who was a prayer intercessor. Now, she couldn't go knock on doors. She couldn't go pass out tracts. She couldn't go preach or teach, but she could go to the Lord and converse with the Lord about you and you and you and you and these friends over here that had needs, and they interceded. She interceded for them. But God chose Abraham as an intercessor. You know, that's an apt role for the father of faith, and it's an apt role for all fathers for their children. But this is an amazing court case. For Abraham is very persuasive and uses the knowledge that the Lord is merciful and desires to be merciful. You know, a good attorney will look for the interests of the judge. I was going to use the word biases, but I don't want to use that in the case of God. But Abraham knows that God is merciful. He knows that God desires to be merciful, and he uses this in his talking to the Lord to save Sodom. And he brings God to agree if there are 50 righteous men in Sodom, judgment will be spared. So if God will be merciful because there are 50, will you be merciful because there are 45? Kind of makes sense. If you've got mercy, don't you have mercy to extend to just 45? Well, what about 40 and 30 and 20 and then 10? Of course, he stops at 10. And he stops there because he certainly believes that there must be at least 10 in Sodom, because he knows that his family Lot lives there and his children have children. So certainly there must be at least 10 in Sodom. So he rests his case, having prevailed with God. You know, God is so merciful. I count on his mercy. I count on his mercy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but his mercy extended past that. He's indeed merciful. So we see this mercy by him rescuing Lot, rescuing his wife and daughters, who were not specifically brought up in the plea bargain, except in general terms, perhaps being in the ten. Before destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and all their wicked inhabitants, including turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt, for she disobeyed and looked back. So what are we to learn from this? For as 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things, and it includes what takes place in this chapter, happened unto them for examples. That's a biblical word rarely used today. Examples. And they are written for our admonition. You know, we admonish. And you are the receiver of admonishment for a purpose, to get on board God's word and be obedient to God's word and do God's word, not just a hearer only, but what? Paul, a doer. You know, like that lady on her back in the bed. I can't do anything but pray. Praise God, you can pray and be an intercessor for God while you're on your back in your bed. But they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So this is written for our admonition. So then from this, we're not to just take this and say, wow, that's a wonderful experience of Abraham, and go home and ho-hum. We are to learn that God has purposed us to prevail with him who is the righteous and merciful judge of all the earth. Faith is to move us to prevail with God. You know, I think that God was pleased. I think he, when he was talking to Abraham and Abraham was bringing these up, don't you think he had a smile in his mind? If he didn't smile on his face, he had a smile in his mind, because Abraham was acting in faith to prevail upon him for mercy. And I think he was pleased. Don't you think that God delighted in the faith that Abraham showed when he reasoned with God in behalf of the souls of Sodom? And don't you think that God is pleased when you prevail upon him to save souls? But notice how close Abraham came to what he may have thought as insubordination as he sought the Lord on behalf of the righteous. He questioned God by saying, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? How'd you like to say that to Jesus Christ? Notice his humility as he speaks to the Lord, almost tiptoeing around God in his request of verse 27, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He knew his place. You know, we ought to know our place. We are but clay. We don't have much status before the Lord as clay. We simply are clay to be molded in the Master's hands. And in verse 30, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. And in verse 32, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, no more. I know that I've been annoying. I know that I've been determined. I know that I've been knocking on the door. But this is the last. But Abraham believed in his cause, and he went to Almighty God on behalf of the righteous, even to the point of thinking that he may himself be subject to God's anger and wrath. You know, God himself has told us in Isaiah 1:18, what a wonderful invitation this is, because he says, come now and let us reason together. You know, God has deigned himself to reason with the clay. As the clay questions, why have you made me thus? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that promise. For my sins were dark, crimson, and scarlet. You know, importunate prayer. Now, importunate, the synonyms for importunate, persistent, demanding, unrelenting, annoying. I need some food for my guests. But it's night, we're all in bed. I don't care. I need some food. Okay, I'll get you some food because you're so annoying. Remember that in the scriptures where Jesus told of importunate prayer? Prevailing prayer is reasoning together with God. You know, Moses prayed 40 days and 40 nights. He reasoned with God as he sought to stay the wrath of God against Israel. And God gives us this account to stimulate us to prevailing prayer. Jesus said in his Beatitudes, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You know, that's interesting, isn't it? God has chosen you. He has not poured salt on this earth other than you as his children. And he has declared you to be salt of the earth. And as salt, God desires we prevail with him that the earth be preserved. Because of Abraham, God was willing to spare Sodom if only 10 righteous people were counted. As salt, God's judgment may be withheld because of the prevailing prayer of the righteous. Oh, how we pray for our own nation. You know, we say that, well, the end times are here. Well, that doesn't stop us from prevailing in prayer to God. We don't know the times. We pray for God to save our nation, save our communities, save our homes through prevailing prayer, because we have been given the task of being salt in the earth. And God reveals to his friends his plan of righteousness and justice. And as I have already said, he shows us this by pondering the question he asks of himself, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You know, we who know the Lord, we who are friends of the Lord, walk in the light. God never keeps us ignorant of His plan of righteousness and justice, nor did God keep Abraham ignorant of this, for Abraham was his friend. You know, I love this verse in John 15:15, where our wonderful Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the one who loves us, cares for us, the one who conforms us to Himself, said this, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So God gives His word to His friends. God gave His word to Abraham, who He declared to be His chosen channel of blessing to all the nations, culminating in Jesus Christ the Savior. And He desires that we, His friends, also be a chosen channel of blessing by including this important verse in conversation with Himself. Verse 19. He adds this to this musings, "And I know him," and I know him. God knows Abraham. He knows his character. He knows he's a man of faith, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So being a channel, then, for prevailing prayer, we are to note the importance of the family. For the family is that institution that is to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. You know, that can never be delegated to a Christian school, nor even the church. That's the responsibility of the family. Now, the church helps, the Christian school helps, but the family is the institution to keep the way of the Lord. And within the family, note the powerful role of the father. Fathers, you have a powerful role, for the father is given to command, for fathers are responsible to instill the Lord's way. Don't leave it up to someone else. It's your responsibility, which involves righteousness and justice upon their children. Fathers, let no one take this command from you. Others want it, and they will take it from you if you allow it. Pray that God will help you to command. Now, righteousness refers to conduct conforming to God's character, as given to us in His Word and revealed to us in His creation. You know, in our devotions, we read Psalm 29. You can note that if you'd like, but Psalm 29 talks about the voice of God in His creation. You know, we have the Word of God, but the Bible declares that He speaks to us even in His creation, in Psalm 29. So righteousness refers to His conduct conforming to God's character. God's character is even expressed in His creation. What a wonderful God we have. But justice is the exercising or administration of God's righteousness in human affairs, that of government and human relationship as applied in the law. So righteousness and judgment. In other words, boil it down to simple things, we are to teach our children through both example and instruction how to live so as to please God both as individuals and as they are in society. That's your job, fathers. Mothers will help, but fathers are paramount in that effort. So by including Abraham commanding his children in this context, I believe it is implied that we are to show our children the importance of prayer for a lost and dying world, a world that faces God's judgment. You know, fathers, you are to teach the fear of the Lord. Now, you think those in Sodom would fear if they knew what was coming from a holy and righteous God? For one day they were going about their business and the next day they were buried in fire. So teach the fear of the Lord. How else to infuse in them an understanding that the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached to that lost and dying world? Prevailing prayer. You know, we're learning in our prayer times on Wednesday to pray prevailing in the lives of our Christian school students and their parents. And we ask the question, why must we do this? We do this for we know that our God is righteous and just. And because of this, His judgment is inevitable. It's inevitable. We can say, well, it won't happen in our lifetime. Who cares if it won't happen in your lifetime? It's inevitable. And it's inevitable upon the lost. And without the saving hand of God, all of these students are doomed. Now, that's the message that ought to drive us to our knees in prevailing prayer. So as Abraham, our father of faith, interceded on behalf of that wicked city, we as parents are encouraged to frequently pray and to also pray for and with our children for the lost. So when you pray with your children, pray for the lost. Pray for that neighbor next door. Pray for Aunt Susie. Pray for Uncle Larry. Pray with the children for the lost so that they know that there's a fear of the Lord, that there's judgment inevitable, and people are dying and going to hell because they're lost. But Abraham had a heart for the lost Sodomites and prevailed upon God for mercy. And that is the kind of heart God wishes us to have as we too prevail with Him, a heart for the lost. Father, we are so thankful for this kind group of students who have come to hear the Word of God taught. Lord, this passage in Scripture is so dear to us, Lord, as other passages of Scripture, as the whole Scripture is dear to us, for it's a conversation with God Himself. And we're thankful, Father, that you give us these words, this instruction, and that you do not choose to keep us ignorant as servants, but you keep us in the Word as friends. Now do bless our service to come and bless our pastor as he opens up that same Word to us, that we might dine sumptuously upon the Word of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.